Hey, turn with me to Acts, the first chapter. Acts chapter 1. As we go through some things this morning, I want you to know that there are some aspects of the Holy Spirit that can be illustrated, and I'm sure much better illustrated than this, but I brought one of the most powerful illustrations I can think of, WD-40, with me today. I use this stuff. I mean, this and Vaseline is the only reason I'm alive. That and masking tape. My dad didn't have, you know, what is it? That wiring stuff or duct tape. It's just masking tape. He stitched us up several times. Here's the deal about this. This stuff is great, but until it leaves the can, it's just great. And it's great up there on the shelf. But it doesn't do anything until it leaves this can. You know the cool thing about WD-40? It is a penetrating oil. It says it right there. Penetrating oil. It says never, never, ever quit using this if you're a great... No, it doesn't say anything about being Christian there. It just says, you know, that it tells what it does. You see, what happens is this leaves the can and it hits that rusty whatever it is that you're wanting to get loose, everything, and it penetrates and it lubricates, and then it causes it to operate as it's supposed to. You ever had like a rusty nut, you know, on a bolt or whatever? You spray this puppy on there, penetrates, and now I think it's just wheeled right left and right on it. It's really kind of cool. This is kind of the way the Holy Spirit works. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. And when He fills you, not when He stays in heaven and not when He stays in somebody else and not when I keep Him, but I'm going to send Him to you. And then when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to start operating the way you were designed to operate. And I hope that makes a little sense to you. It's kind of where we're going today. Now, let me just say something else. I want to get back over here. This is a whole different thing. But when you go to churches like ours and they start talking about the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's hard to understand exactly what we're doing because you get introduced to the Holy Spirit and then you're supposed to marry the Holy Spirit. I mean, I say that for a specific reason. Have you ever known anybody, meet somebody one day and get married the next? That doesn't make any sense at all to you, does it? You don't know anything about them. You don't understand what they do. You know, you just know that they look good and they bought you something. I mean, that's probably why you got hooked up there. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't make any sense. And there's a whole lot of people that get introduced through one sermon, the Holy Spirit. The next thing you know, they're supposed to just buy into everything. And it's difficult to do that. Now, I'm telling you, it will happen. I was talking with somebody this week and I said, you know, I just get jealous of people who got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit the same night. I heard about one guy that got saved, baptized, and healed, for crying out loud. I don't think he wanted the fourth step, which is go to heaven. You know, I mean, I think he wanted to wait around for that one a little bit. But I mean, what else can you do that's just awesome in this experience with God? But I'm telling you, the reason I say that is that I don't want to water down or go just kind of really easy with the Holy Spirit to kind of convince you to kind of maybe hang around long enough so He can baptize you. I want you to understand what's going on. It's easier for me to buy into something that I understand and I know how it's going to operate in me a little bit further than that, okay? So I want you to join me in Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8 here in just a second, because what Jesus is doing is He's got the disciples and He is fixing to leave. And He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the helper. He's going to be your comforter. We'll talk about that in another sermon. He's going to be here, and He's going to fill you. They had no idea what that was really all about. It was a foreign concept to them. But Jesus is setting them up for this ministry. And He's starting to create the foundation for the New Testament church. The Holy Spirit's going to be absolutely crucial to the benefits and the operation of the New Testament church. So in chapter 1, verse 8 in Acts, He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. So the part that I want you to fix on right there is not the witnesses part, even it's a part of the scripture, but I want you to go back to the power part. Because I'm going to tell you what, I've been in church too, and when that scripture comes out, I feel obligated to become this incredible witness whether I am or not. And the picture is on something that I'm supposed to do, that I've created this expectation in and of myself. God hasn't done that. He says, I want you to focus on the power I'm going to give you. And that's what I want you to do. So I'm going to share a couple of things with you today about why the Holy Spirit came. Why Jesus, when he left, sent back the Holy Spirit. The first thing is simply this. He wanted us to be able to think God's thoughts. To think like God. Listen, when I got saved, there was a conflict. I had an old me and a new me. The new me was the new creation, but the old me still remembered where I'd been. I had a little track record in some of those things. It was really cool. When I got saved, you know what? I gave up alcohol. Hey, listen, I wasn't a big drinker, okay? I was just a stupid teenager that when I'd go to a party, if there was a beer there, I'd grab one and drink it because I was supposed to. I was a peer pressure drinker, okay? I probably got drunk maybe 5 times total, and most of that was just being buzzed, all right? So I didn't have an addiction, all right? But you know what? I had a pretty filthy mouth. I quit cussing immediately, gave up alcohol. Gave up horrible women. Thank you for that laugh. Because I was so handsome in height. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the thing. My life changed immediately. It did. It changed immediately. I became something brand new. But the cool thing was that I had a couple of hang-ups. I had these things. You know, the biggest thing that I had a hang-up with? It really wasn't the things that I used to do. It was the feelings that I currently had. I wanted to have this victorious life, but I kept going, and I've told you this several times. It's just that up and down thing. I didn't feel like I was really, really saved. I didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything. I felt like I was doing the right thing. I was staying. Hey, listen, I was staying in between the lines, okay? I wasn't out there doing the wrong stuff, but I didn't have this feeling. And I needed the heart of God. And boy, God did some powerful things in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, the man without the Spirit, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. When the Spirit speaks to us and we don't know Jesus Christ, we've not even been related to the Holy Spirit, we don't know, we can't even comprehend what that's all about. I remember when I got saved, there were a lot of my friends that didn't get saved, and they just thought I was an idiot. You know what? Before you know it, I became a Bible thumper. They used that word. I became holier than thou. They used that word too. They said, who do you think you are? I mean, they just put me down. The same ones that I ran around with, now they would not run around with me. They put me down because this new life in Christ, this new spiritual adventure I was on, was totally foreign to them. And that's what happens right here. Our thoughts on the power of the Holy Spirit can become the thoughts that God even has. You stop and look around us. I'm telling you, there is a world out there that does not discern anything. They're clueless because they have no relationship with Christ. They perceive it in the way that they know it, in just a human effort. Let me tell you, back in Acts, the first chapter, remember, you had verse 8 just now when Jesus says, I am going to send the Holy Spirit and you will receive power. A few scriptures earlier that, in verse 5, this is what he said. For John, remember the John the Baptist, he said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let me connect the dots here for some of you. These guys were going to get, they were saved. They were hooked up with Jesus. I'm telling you, if they had died right then, they would have gone straight to heaven. Okay? So if you're worried about this Holy Spirit thing, listen, when you get saved, there's a Holy Spirit relationship there that is established that we'll define later, but it's already there. But the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is what he's talking about. But he says, but in a few days you would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He just said these words to these disciples who walked with him for 3.5 years, saw him do all kinds of miracles. This is what he said. Guess what their response was? We find it in verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus has said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And they're going, we want a physical kingdom in Israel. They're not even listening. They're on AM and he's on FM when it comes to the spiritual stuff. They weren't understanding what he was doing. You see, they'd been under all the Roman rule. Now they wanted their own kingdom. They thought Jesus was going to be the king of that kingdom. Remember that? So they had different perspectives. You got to get the Spirit to start thinking the way God thinks. And that's what I wanted in my life. I didn't know how to say it that way. But I wanted that peace that only God could give. They were tired of this Roman thing, and they needed to be thinking the thoughts of God. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit came is so that we can think like God thinks. So we can perceive the things that God perceived. Our natural thinking is self-centered. We think about ourselves. You know what God says? God says, this is the way I think. How about self-giving? How about give? Give your money, give your life, give yourself. It's incredible how this works. And all because of that, it's hard when you're the natural man to see any benefit of that. But Jesus, God, when you look at it, every time we've given of ourselves, He has poured back into us. Poured back into us. I mean, it's amazing how that works. The Holy Spirit is the only force in the universe that can bring our thinking in line with God's thinking. You see a circumstance, you don't know what to do, God will tell you what to do if you're listening to what the Holy Spirit says. Let me take you to John, the 16th chapter, verses 13 to 14. That's what it says. But when He, listen carefully, because a lot of times we read the Bible and we don't see the interjection of the word Spirit in there, and we think of it as a normal Christian experience, but this is about what the Holy Spirit does and not just being a Christian. He says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will not speak only what He hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. Jesus was trying to let these people know that when the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to be your guide. Don't depend on yourself. When I'm gone, I was here to tell you what to do. But when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit will be here to guide you through all of that. He is going to be your greatest asset, so embrace Him. The world is full of questions, guys, and we need to have an answer. And the Holy Spirit knows how to provide those answers. The second thing is, not only did He come so that we could think God's thoughts, but He came so that we could feel what God feels. Listen, I don't know if you can answer this question. What makes God joyful? What makes God angry? What makes God sad? We should be able to answer those because He's given us His Spirit to feel those things just like He does, to have the same emotions that God has. Isn't it cool that when you begin to understand God operating in your life, you begin to see things come out of your life that weren't there before? You have compassion like you've never had compassion before. You're forbearing. You're patient. You have kindness. You have gentleness. Next thing you know, you're patient. Where you would have knocked somebody's head off, you find yourself restraining yourself and finding compassion for that person. You even love that person. That wasn't who you were before you met Jesus, and it certainly wasn't who you were before you got the heart of the Lord God Jesus Christ in your heart because of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, I wrote these down. Listen, it is not in the natural part of us. It's not in man's nature to love people who spitefully wrong you. Who spitefully wrong you. Isn't it? Didn't it just grind on you the first time you read Jesus says, love your enemies? Are you kidding me? I have a whole different plan for my enemies, thank you very much. I've got that one down. But He said, love your enemies. Matter of fact, He said, pray for them. Are you kidding me? You know what they did to me? Yet Jesus demonstrated this not only on the cross, but this is what the Spirit does. It's not in the nature of man to sacrifice your time or your money. People don't understand why you go to church in the first place and why you would give a single penny to the church. Debbie and I have been audited twice. You've heard me say this several times, and it's just my form of venting from the pulpit. But we've been audited twice every time, both times. You know what? They said, you give too much money to the church. They were questioning our giving practices. That's what spiked the audit. How about that? It's not in the nature of man to deny evil and do good. Matter of fact, the nature of man is to continue doing evil. The nature of man is to be evil. The nature of man is to be spiteful and hurt people and say things about them and be judgmental and lord over them. That's not what it is. And listen, it's not in natural man to pray for the lost. You know why? Because we don't care for the lost. It's just about us. But the Holy Spirit does this work in us. The Holy Spirit came so we can feel what God feels. So that we will be grieved when God is grieved. So we'll be excited over the things that God is excited about. So we'll be moved when God is moved. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. Wouldn't you love to feel the way that God feels and to have those emotions rule your life? It can be. Another thing He did is He came so that we could pray God's prayers. So that we could pray God's prayers. There are times, I don't care how spiritual you are, you come up against things and you just don't know what to pray. I mean, you know, you could throw some titles on it, but sometimes you just really don't know. You know, has anybody ever asked you, hey, you know, there's somebody that I can't name them, but will you just be praying for them? What am I supposed to pray? Lord, I pray for this unknown person that this person asked me to pray for. And I'm not trying to be funny at this moment. It's just you don't have a whole lot of detail. But there are times when even when you have all the details, you still don't know what to pray. You don't know what to do. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit has given us this ability to pray the things that God needs to be prayed. The Holy Spirit would guide us through that. Romans 8, chapter verse 26 says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. How cool is it that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gives you that prayer language, and you're asking, what is tongues all about? Tongues is a part of the language, the gift that God gives you so that you can communicate to God through prayer and praying for things. Listen, I've had things where I've been praying for people in the church or praying in my own life, you know, and especially when you get really intensely involved in that, you don't know exactly what to do or what to pray. You don't know how this thing's going to break loose. You don't know where this is supposed to go. So God gives you this avenue through praying in the Spirit to pray. And we are trusting that the Holy Spirit knows exactly, because remember, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, He's a part of that. You know, that He knows everything just like God does, just like Jesus does. He can see what needs to happen. He knows what's going to happen. And He's going to direct us through their prayers. Here's the thing I ask myself. Why would God use us in that avenue? And I can only come up with one conclusion. He loved me so much that He wanted me to be a part of this process. Why? Because I have a relationship with Him. I am not God's little soldier. I am His friend. Jesus died so that I could have a relationship with Him and so that He could use me in many, many ways. And one of them is prayer, because we're incapable of knowing what to do in most situations. Ephesians 2:18 says this, now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father, here's the quote, through the Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Christ died on the cross. He left. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and you will have complete access to God through the Holy Spirit. Man, that's a cool thing, and I love every part of it. It is through the Holy Spirit that we can gain access to the throne of God. There's this great verse of Scripture over in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. I think it's verse 12. I'm not exactly sure, but it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm going to tell you what. Have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Okay, that's how we could have to go to God if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. When the wizard, you know, he got big fluffs of smoke and everything, and everybody's fear. I'm the cowardly lion, by the way. You know, I'd be running out of there. You know. I would be freaking out, all right? That's all there is to it. But we can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit allows us to pray these prayers, and we get to come to God, and we have this tremendous relationship. And that's a part of what happens when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He does this fabulous thing in us. The next thing is simply this. Matter of fact, this is the last thing. Aren't you happy? The Holy Spirit came so that we could do God's work. So that we could do God's work. We're constantly asking God, what is your will? A part of that needs to be saying, God, what is your will and what do you want me to do? Well, the Holy Spirit has come to answer that. He's come to tell you what He wants to do. Going to the Old Testament in Zechariah, the fourth chapter, it says this, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Whatever we do, God says, it is by my Spirit that we're going to accomplish these things. It is the Spirit leading Shelley Downs to pray for Virginia. It says the Holy Spirit confirming the work that He's going to do in Shelley's body. It's these things that He does. Listen, it's amazing. This is where you and I should take some comfort. You know what Jesus recruited? He recruited these uncool, uneducated people who didn't have a lot of class. They weren't real special. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there were these people that started seeing them after Jesus had left and further after the church had gotten started, the baptism of the Holy Spirit had hit in Acts 2. And they said, you know, we don't know what's going on here, but I see these unschooled, unlearned people, and all we know is that we can tell that they have been with Jesus. The coolest compliment to your life is somebody can tell that you've been with Jesus. Hey, listen, it's not that, oh, I could tell you went to church. I've gone to some churches, you know, and I just had this habit of wearing a tie. Whenever I have the opportunity to go to a church that I'm like on vacation or whatever, I always wear a tie. And most of the time, especially nowadays, they can tell, you ain't been here, have you? And I'm the only one with the tie on. And that's okay. This isn't about dress. This isn't about attire. It's just I'm the odd guy, all right? But here's the cool thing. The Bible tells us that because of the Holy Spirit, people are going to recognize that you've been with Jesus simply because of who you are. The Spirit does that in you. The greatest compliment I think I ever got was when a good friend of mine, her sister had a 3-year-old daughter. We would go to get pizza every Sunday night after church, and we would go, and this little girl would come and just belly up next to me, and we would joke and laugh, and we would play, and we would write and stuff like that, and we'd play tic-tac-toe and everything. And Beth finally told me one day, she goes, you know why my little girl likes you so much? I said, I have no idea. She said, she can sense your spirit. I didn't even think about it. Never thought about it. She said, she can just sense your spirit. How cool is that? I hope that somewhere, if we're going to write something on my tombstone, I hope that maybe it'll go something like, he had a good spirit. He had a good spirit. It's really cool how that happens. And God came and sent Jesus Christ that he could die for us, and he sent the Holy Spirit so that we could do God's work. It is my prayer that we will accomplish much for God. But I pray that none of it will do because we have a lot of money in the bank here and we could build a big this, that, and the other. I hope it won't be because we have might and power. But I pray that everything that happens will have a sense and a little segment of miraculous to it. Because we get to go, boy, only God could do that. And only God did that. You see, in the human world that we live in, we only want to do what we can do. Remember that statement about faith? If you can do it, it's not faith. It's confidence. But faith is what we do beyond what we know we can do and what we're confident of doing, what we've been trained to do, what we have done before. That's faith. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's about the Spirit taking us to a place that we can't go on our own and to do things that we can't do on our own. And I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden God opened all of these avenues into my life, and I began to do things that I would have never dreamed about. Your life and my life should be summed up by, that's impossible. Only God and finish the sentence. How cool would that be? That'd be awesome. That'd be the greatest compliment to your life and my life. So what can we expect from all of this? Because if I were you and I'm not sure that I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit or still wondering or questioning, I go, okay, so what can we expect? Now listen, this is a generality, but I think I can sum it up quite honestly. It's simply one word. It's called abundance. 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 What you had in your heart through Christ, God is only going to multiply, and he's going to start expanding it. You're going to find yourself reaching into areas that you never dreamed were possible. You're going to start seeing people that weren't even on your radar. You're going to start thinking things that you never thought before. You're going to start praying like you've never prayed before. You're going to find yourself doing things that you don't even were comprehended. You just use the excuse, well, that's not me. And God's going to put you in places that you've never, ever expected yourself to be. Let me go to John the 7th chapter, verses 37 and 39. Listen carefully. Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Can you get that picture? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I didn't get saved because I wanted to join the church and have to do the right thing. I got saved because I knew I was full of sin and I needed a Savior. What I did not know that what came with that is that God was going to fill my heart with this ability to just out of it would be flowing rivers of living water. But listen to what it says next. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. It is God's will, and I believe that it's your prayer somewhere deep down in there, beyond all the understanding or the lack of understanding, that you want the Holy Spirit and the abundance that comes with it. Not so you can be bigger or better. That goes back to man's nature. Not so that you can be all equipped and all good and everything, we're good to go. No, that goes back to man's thing. And so that you can just fall safely like you would in a hammock under the sense of security and in the guidance and the personal direction of God the Father. The satisfaction of knowing that if you die today, you go straight to heaven. But also knowing that while you're here on earth, the Holy Spirit is your guide. He is your help. He's your counselor. He's always there with you. And that you're going to do greater things than you ever dreamed possible, not because you're haughty or confident, but because Jesus Christ is working through you, and He sent His Holy Spirit to come and be with you. And you're beginning to sense that power that we talked about. When was the last time you felt that abundance of the Holy Spirit flowing in your heart? I don't know. I can only capture it with what most people would do if they've had that experience, is when you have a newborn child. And as you hold that life in your arms, yeah, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how big you are, doesn't matter what you got in the bank or whatever, you're just reduced to nothing. You are so humbled by what that represents that you're usually just reduced to tears. It's a pretty cool thing. Remember, I said that, STEM family. You're going to have a baby here in just a couple of weeks. I do expect you to have that exact experience, okay, now that I've guided you. How do you feel when you have an abundance of cash? Don't you just feel like anything's possible? We can go anywhere. I can have anything. We can help anybody. If we need something, go get it. Now listen, it's a very poor illustration to associate the Holy Spirit with a pile of cash, but we know how that feels. How did you feel the last time you were perfectly and completely healthy? No problems, no eye twitches, no arm problems, no issues like that. How cool did that feel? Were you ready to get up and go? You better believe it. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, you and you, spiritually. And He's come here to do that today. Let me ask the musicians to come. And as they do, I just want you to take notice of how calm the moment is before they start playing. Because many of you have been waiting for this moment. Now listen, this isn't a preacher that's trying to prime the altar call. I'm just telling you, you've been waiting for a moment like this because your life is so full of clutter. And I'm not talking about bad clutter. I'm not talking about poor, irresponsible clutter. I'm talking about you just have so much activity. When during the week do you get to concentrate on the Holy Spirit? Because can I tell you something? If you've ever thought about this, if you're anticipating the Holy Spirit to just come and take over, you're wrong. The Holy Spirit never interrupts. Matter of fact, I as a preacher could just construct this service in such a way that we could just absolutely schedule the Holy Spirit out of here. Because you know what? He never intrudes. He only responds to an invitation. He only comes when He's asked. And then He's only going to be there as part of our life when we receive Him. Somebody can stand at your front door, knock until their knuckles get bloody. But it's not until you open the door and ask them and invite them in that they're going to be your guest. Holy Spirit, that's the way you receive it. You ask Him, Father, I acknowledge that I want the Holy Spirit. You know why we do that? Because God is all powerful. We start with God sometimes. That's okay. Jesus, thank You for what You said, because You said You would send Him. And then you address the Holy Spirit. He's the one You're inviting in your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I ask You to come. Fill this vessel. Be a part of my life. But seriously, all week long, when do you have your quiet time? When do you have that opportunity? You're going to work, and you hear the radio's on. And if the radio's off, you're dodging traffic. Your mind is on where you got to go and what you got to do. You got a hectic schedule. You know, the Holy Spirit says, you know what? If you'll just stop long enough, we can have a conversation. And I will listen to what you have to say. If you ask me to come into your life, I will come. Because I am the promise of the Father. Not the hope of the Father, not the if you line everything up just right of the Father, but I am the promise of the Father. And many of us You know, we used to feel that abundance, and it's not there today. I encourage you to take the step, not toward this pastor, not to appease me, not so we can brag on how many people were in the altar, but I'm going to tell you what, there's just something about this altar that represents a place of surrender to where Jesus Christ can answer your prayer, and the Holy Spirit can receive your invitation. You know, to do powerful things in your life. I encourage you to do that. Will you stand with me? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the next few moments before we leave this place, I pray that we will extend an invitation to the Holy Spirit to come and do whatever He wants to do in our life. I pray that we will ask Him to come, fill our hearts. Lord, we talk about terms like being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm trying to avoid those very distinctive words so that these people, and me included, we can ask you an invitation to come into our life, and you get to do what you want to do. And we're asking you to come into my life to fulfill God's will for my life, but I want that abundance. I want to know that you're there. The Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit will help me feel what God feels. I want to feel God today. The Holy Spirit tells me I'll be able to think like God thinks. I want to have the mind of Christ as I leave this place today. God, I want to have a powerful opportunity of prayer through this Spirit. Lord, I want to do your work. I really do. I'm not holding back, but I need the Holy Spirit's help. Maybe that's your cry today. Maybe that's why you'll invite Him. We thank you for all of this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.